If you have a Bible today, turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We spoke on wisdom, and you find wisdom by asking God. You find wisdom in His Word. He speaks to us. We're going to read some verses in Romans chapter 15. And let's begin in verse 1. Paul in chapter 14 is talking about the weaker brother. And we certainly don't want to offend a weaker brother and etc. There's a lot of instruction there. But in verse 1 of chapter 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Edification is building up. Every wise woman buildeth her house. The wise man built his house, so it is edifying. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Bible is a book of hope, amen. We read it and we get encouraged and helped. The Bible goes on and says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to direct your attention to verse 4. It says, these things were written for our learning. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege we have to know your word. And I pray that you'd teach us again today. Help us, Lord, ever to follow you. The songs were so good. And I pray you'd open our hearts as we open the word and bless today in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a blessing to learn something. Amen. And we read our Bibles. Some of you have been studying the Bible for a lot of years. And it's good to get that Bible knowledge. But as we brought out last week, knowledge, if it's just knowledge, knowledge puffeth up. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge to successfully meet the emergencies of life. That's a quote from Bob Jones Sr. And so if you want to learn something in school, you take the textbook home. Amen? Or if you're in college, you study. I guess you study the course so you can pass the time. They have a book out. You've probably seen it. Computers for Dummies, Mechanics for Dummies, you know. And when you approach a book like that, you obviously need some instruction, and you're looking for something that's going to help you with your task. Amen? And that's how we approach the Bible. We need to learn something from God, and He certainly gives instruction. We have Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. We all probably started out in kindergarten, I would say probably. And then we went to first grade. And then second grade, or maybe first grade again. I don't know what your idea of that is, but you cannot really absorb fifth grade material if you're still in kindergarten. So God does that. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we study, and it takes us deeper and deeper. In studying the book of Proverbs in Sunday school, the first 10 are more basic. You go from 10 to 25, and it gets a little deeper, and the last chapters are very deep. And so God does that on purpose. He does it so we can grow in grace and mercy and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One thing allows another. I remember when my wife and I got saved, we would go to church, and the simplest Bible truths, we were amazed. Amen? And as you learn those things, you grow. In 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and knowledge, and both of those are connected, grace and knowledge, not just knowledge. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So we learn of him. We study the life of Christ. In our Bible Institute, we had one of those courses, the life of Christ. And we would go through the Gospels and of course, tie in some Old Testament prophecies. But you learn about Jesus, and you want to be a follower of the Lord. We're to be students of the Bible. Amen? In Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, study Boy, that's a great word, isn't it? Study. Much study is weariness to the flesh, the writer of Ecclesiastes wrote. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are not living in the Old Testament. There are some Old Testament principles that are good for us, but we don't have to sacrifice an animal to the Lord. We don't have to sacrifice a lamb. Why? Because the lamb, Jesus Christ, fulfilled those prophecies. Amen? I can eat bacon. Amen? And so you have all of these things, and sometimes people want to live in the Old Testament, and then you have the New Testament, and you have the Gospels, and you have the Book of Acts, and they take us into the church epistles, and we learn about the church. Then you have the Book of Revelation. We are not in the Book of Revelation. Amen? We're going to be raptured out before that. So as you go to the Book of Revelation, chapter 4, the heavens open, and somebody goes up. In chapter 19, the heavens open, and somebody comes down. That's the church. That's us. That's believers. Amen? And we've taught that before, so you're probably familiar with that. But rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. Some are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Philippians 4:11, Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, Michigan or Indiana, I've learned to be content. Amen? That is progressive. You just don't wake up one day and, okay, I'm going to be content with everything that comes my way. And it's a real process, isn't it? And that's how you learn patience. Sometimes it's tribulation. Ephesians 4:20, you might want to turn over there, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 20, it says, ye have not so learned Christ. And so we're going to see what he's talking about. Look at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The church does that. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work uncleanness with all greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. He has taught us. The next verse tells us that, the rest of the chapter. And it closes with verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we learn of Christ. He, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. You know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. All of the different verses and stories about our Lord, we can copy. And that is a good thing to do. So it's just important. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, Jesus said, go and learn what that meaneth. And he's talking about, he came not to minister to those that were proud and didn't need a physician. He came to those that needed the physician. He says, go and learn what that meaneth. Scripture with scripture. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do well. That's a good one. Proverbs 22:25, go from the presence of an angry man, lest thou learn his ways and you become like him. So evil communications corrupt good manners. So there's people you don't want to follow. Amen? And I know you got to rub shoulders and all that kind of stuff and work and family, but you don't want to really fellowship a lot with somebody like that because you're going to learn their ways. That's what God says. So what do you learn? Well, you learn God's truth. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So beware, because you can be spoiled like that. You can watch a certain TV program for a while and you could just be following that, or you turn the station and you get another one and you follow that. Amen? So follow this. Praise the Lord. It's a good thing to do. How do you learn? You study, experience all of those things. They say a doctor in the United States, it takes an average of 10 to 14 years to become a doctor or a surgeon. 10 to 14 years. This includes four-year undergrad degree, 4 years of medical school, and 3 to 7 years of residency. That's so when you go to the doctor, they know what to tell you. Amen? And we used to have the old family doctor. He did everything. He even came to your house, you know. I remember as kids, he came to give us measles shots or something like that. And what a wonderful experience that was. Amen? But a doctor needs to know what he's doing, you know. He can't tell you why I was absent from class that day. You know, you need to have some kind of foundation in that doctor's education. And so we have spiritual knowledge that helps us, and God gives that to us. In Luke chapter 16, there's a verse there that says, the children of this world are wiser than the children of our generation. And what it's talking about is there's Christians, and sometimes lost people have more morals, or they have more mercy, or they have more kindness, or they have more help than saved people. And so you cannot judge a book by its cover. I mean, there are saved people that really aren't living the way they should live. And there's lost people that are living really good, but they've never received Jesus in their heart. Amen? I read the story about a doctor, and he was an old-timer, and he had retired, was a retired farmer for a long time, and he got bored with being retired, so he decided to open a medical clinic. And he put a sign up outside that said, get your treatment for $500. If you're not cured, you get back $1,000. And so this Dr. Young, who was positive that this old-timer didn't know beans about medicine, thought this would be a great opportunity to get $1,000. So he went to Dr. Geezer's, that's what they wrote, Dr. Geezer, clinic, and this is what happened. Dr. Young said, Dr. Geezer, I've lost all taste in my mouth. Can you please help me? Dr. Geezer said, nurse, please bring medicine from box 22 and put 3 drops of the medicine in Dr. Young's mouth. Dr. Young gasped, and he said, this is gasoline. Dr. Geezer said, congratulations, you have your taste back. That'll be $500. Dr. Young gets annoyed and goes back after a couple days, figuring to recover his money. And he says, I've lost my memory. I can't remember anything. Dr. Geezer said, nurse, please bring medicine from box 22 and put 3 drops in the patient's mouth. Dr. Young says, oh, no, you don't. That's gasoline. And Dr. Geezer said, congratulations, your memory is back. That's another $500. Where am I? Dr. Young, having lost $1,000, leaves angrily and comes back several more days later. And he says, my eyesight has become weak. I can hardly see. Dr. Geezer said, well, I don't have any medicine for that, so here's your $1,000 back. Dr. Young said, but this is only $500. Congratulations. You've got your sight back. And sometimes there are people in this world, they are wise, amen, but not in spiritual things. I mean, they could build a business, they can do this, they can do that. I mean, their minds are absolutely amazing. And even the wisdom that they have, the worldly wisdom, but they just don't know the Lord, amen. And we have an opportunity of learning spiritual truth. Praise the Lord, that helps us in so many ways and helps other people, and we'll see that in a minute. There was a man. He walked into the doctor's office and he said, doctor, what's the problem with me? When I touch my arm, ouch, it hurts. When I touch my leg, ouch, it hurts. When I touch my head, it hurts. When I touch my chest, ouch, it really hurts. The doctor replied, your finger's broken. I hope you get that. Amen. Okay, enough. Now we can get to the meat. Amen. And it's absolutely amazing what we would go to a doctor and blindly take medicine or this or that or not know, just put your trust in something, and we can't come to the Lord and just trust him. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:6, about a pastor, not a novice, So he needs to know the word. I think that's important. And the great physician is always coming along like a doctor and saying, does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? Tell me where it hurts. If you don't know where it hurts, he's going to put you through something where he can find out what it hurts. And that's what church is about sometimes. Amen? We come looking for answers. We want God to speak to us. We want to learn. We want some wisdom. And we come like we don't understand it. And God gives us that understanding. It's just a blessing. There was a patient, and he said, doctor, I think I need glasses. And the teller said, you certainly do. This is a bank. Amen? And so you've come to church today. That's all the jokes. That's all you get. That'll last another month. But you've come to church today. This is where there's an answer. Amen? God gives the answers. What a blessing. That's the right place. What are you learning? Well, in church, it's preach the word, teach the word. We read the word. We memorize the word. We study the word. In Matthew chapter 13, there's the story of the seed and the sower, and the seed's going on this ground, this ground, this ground. You know the story, but on the fourth ground, it's good ground. And the seed is the word of God. And when the seed falls on good ground, do you ever, I'm sure you do. It's not the right way to ask it. But don't you remember, and maybe even already today, you came to church and something that was in a Bible story or a verse, boy, that just rang a bell. Amen? That is God preparing a message and preparing your heart and putting them both together. And he does that all the time. The seed is just going out. Amen? And sometimes it doesn't go out with a lot of talent in my preaching, but it's still going out. I was in Ireland one time, and the preacher got up and he read Psalm 119 and sat back down. He just got up and read Psalm 119. There's 170-some verses in it. It was a good message. You know, we're reading the book of Proverbs. We're reading a chapter every day corresponding with the date. And if you read your chapter in Proverbs today, something jumped off those pages and helped you. That's what it is in church. So we have the seed and the sower. That's a blessing. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. In Acts chapter 20, turn over there if you would, Acts chapter 20, and we'll read a story. The Apostle Paul, he's preaching and he's long preaching. Boy, he's preaching for a long time. Aren't you glad when I do that, you know, just preach? Man, he shouldn't be done. But he keeps on going. That's a blessing. This is Acts chapter 20. Let's start in verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, as Paul was long preaching. He sunk down with sleep, fell down the third loft, and was taken up dead. Paul was long preaching, and this guy fell asleep. You ever fall asleep during service? And there are different reasons for that. That sometimes it's medication, sometimes you didn't get a good night's sleep the night before. I mean, there are valid reasons for that. Amen? But when you snore, okay, let's leave that one. But there are reasons to fall asleep, and you're just wore out, and you go to sleep. And so sometimes, you know, it's a joke, it's another story, it's another application, just to keep the mind focused on that. And the devil doesn't like that, because you could miss something so important in a sermon that was prepared just for you. Amen? And we learn those things as we grow in the Lord. In Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I think that's a blessing if you understand that. How are we learning? We study. We study. Ecclesiastes 12:12. Further, by these, my son, be admonished. In many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh, unless you like the material. Amen? If you like the material, study is not a burden. If you're studying something, did you like history in school? Some people liked history, some people didn't like it. English? No English. You know, and you take all of these subjects, but you had a favorite subject. Mine was study hall. I loved it. You just go in there and take a nap or whatever. But, I mean, it's possible to fall in love with this book. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Especially when God begins to speak to you. I'm praying about a certain subject. And then as I read in my devotions, and God answers that. I'm on my way to church, and this is going on in my life. And how did he know what to prepare? And so you have all of these truths that God is always trying to make the connection. The Ethiopian eunuch, he's going home, and he could not find an answer to what he's reading in Isaiah. How can I accept some man should guide me? God sent a man from a revival, and he explained it to him. And God has a way of doing that all the time. We have a question, and God gives us an answer. And it's always, always with his word. These things are written for our learning. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do well. That is an active thing. We learn to do. And so if we're hearers only and not doers of the word, we deceive ourselves. And we get satisfied with the knowledge. Or I paid my dues, or I went to church and I was faithful in being there. And I'm saying sometimes when you don't want to go to church anyway. It's right to do. Amen. But come hungry and look for some nugget that God is going to give you. Learn to do well. And here's what it says. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Think of the people we can help if we learn that. Amen? If we learn how to do that. What? Micah 6:8. He has showed the old man what is good. It says, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do, okay, here's another active verb. But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. And when that is true, when we learn how to do that, then we can help other people. It's not just, oh, I know what the Bible says about this, and boy, this is good for me. No, God created us to help other people. Amen? The church isn't just for us here. It's how can we minister to other people as well as the church here. So we have all of these truths in the Bible, and it's a blessing. Titus 3:14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We learn by admonition, and the Bible just said that in a verse that I quoted, and example. It's admonition is a gentle reproof. It's counseling against a fault. It's instruction in duties. It's direction. If you were on the way to California and you didn't want to go to California and you had a sign, or if you wanted to go to California but you were going the opposite way and you had a sign on your bumper going to California, wouldn't you hope somebody would stop you and say, that's not the way to California? The Bible corrects us. The Bible instructs us. The Bible reproves us. Sometimes it's a strong reproof. But isn't that better than erring and going into sin? Amen? So it's a blessing to know that. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of a righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. It's really wise to witness to people and to win somebody to the Lord. Do you remember back when you won the last person that you won and how you shared the Bible with them? And every Christian ought to be reproducing themselves. Amen? There's so many Bible verses. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Amen? And so God wants us to take our salvation experience, how the word affected us, share that with somebody else, loved ones, relatives, neighbors, all those people who need the Lord. Somebody said, well, I'm a witness, I'm a fisher of men. And it's like the guy that was fishing, and he says, I'm a good fisherman. And somebody said, show me your stringer. Amen? And you know by your fruits. So I hope you've won somebody to the Lord. If not, it's one of the greatest experiences you'll ever have. Winning somebody to the Lord, opening a Bible, praying with somebody, guiding and leading them. We learn as we study the Bible that the church is to evangelize the world and give the gospel to the world. John 3:17, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came and died for us. John 17:18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. That's Jesus speaking to the Father. John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Amen. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. There's a song in our songbook, So Send I You, probably familiar to you. But these are the verses. I thought I would just read them. And you would think it would just be for a missionary or just a pastor. But I think this is written for everybody. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. And we would just look back at the life of our Savior and how he, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Amen. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. All the verses, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came for one reason, and that was to die for sinners, to give his life for sinners. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, or wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world aweary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. Peter, in the book of Peter, talks about that. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a hungering for the loved and known, forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self will resign, to labor long and look and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. You know the story of the Macedonians, and they sold themselves into the mines. They became slaves that they might reach people that would obviously not be reachable any other way. They just said, I'll be a slave. I'll give the rest of my life to working in the mines. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend, though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, Jesus said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. One preacher wrote, the life of Christ exemplifies a voice for souls. Jesus was never content abiding only among those who already believed his words. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. There was an old time preacher, Charles G. Finney, who was a revivalist, but he said this, make it an object of constant study and of daily reflection and prayer to learn how to deal with sinners so as to promote their conversion. Pray every day that you might come across, cross paths with somebody that needs the Lord. Amen. An easy way to do it is to give a tract. But sometimes God opens a conversation and getting somebody to church. I'm going to give you in the near future, you know, sometimes the Sunday morning service is instruction for believers, and we would always put salvation in the end. But I'm going to give you some Sundays where it's just a salvation message, just salvation, all the way through, beginning to end. And I will let you know. And that's the time maybe to bring your friends, your neighbors, your family. Amen? Knowing that they will hear the gospel. Sometimes people just don't want to listen to you. You know, and if it's a one-on-one conversation, they're talking sometimes more than you're talking. But when they come to church, they're just going to sit and listen to the word. So we'll give you those dates as they come up, and then really do your best to get somebody here for that. The gospel, somebody said, is only good news if it gets there in time. It's only good news if it gets there in time. People, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. Amen. You may have a loved one that that doesn't know the Lord and you're thinking, well, I got plenty of time. Now's the time to give them the gospel. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today, you never received the Lord. He died for you. And he wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to have a home in heaven. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, the Bible says all men are sinners and all men need a Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is pray something like this in your heart. It doesn't have to be exact. Silently in your heart, he'll hear the prayer of your heart. Dear Lord, I am a sinner. I want you to forgive me. Please forgive me of all my sin. Give me a home in heaven. Be my Savior. I trust you for that. In Jesus' name. Simple prayer. God's delighted in answering it. Lord, bless your word now. Minister to every person here. Thank you for giving us the truth and teaching us. We're taught of God to love one another. So many verses. May you bless us all today and help us to grow in grace and knowledge. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand, please. You'd bow your heads and close your eyes and just talk to the Lord. Cheryl's going to play a verse.